Amen. They've called him on the carpet. And at Jerusalem, and they finally passed on it. Amen. Amen. And then it says in the 19th verse, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. And when they were came to Antioch, they spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Well, then tidings of these things came to the ears of the church, which is in Jerusalem. I mean, some more Gentiles is coming in. I'm in Acts chapter 11. Amen. Did I say 12? Amen. Oh, yes. Pardon me. Amen. The tidings of these things came to the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Now the reason Barnabas was one of those that was nominated to replace Judas in the first chapter was because he had been with Jesus. There's a difference of opinion on that. Some versions read instead of Barsabas, they say Barnabas. And I lean that way myself. Amen. Even though there is some problems with it. Amen. Barnabas, then he departs to seek Saul. And one reason Barnabas perhaps has an impression on them and they're called Christians is because Barnabas walked with Christ. He knew how Christ acted, how Christ walked. And then they copied after Barnabas and walked like Barnabas. And they called them all Christians because they walked like Christ. Amen. Well, be that as it may, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. It came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world. And it came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Amen. Gary, we don't walk around while the preacher's preaching. Sit down. Which they also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Amen. I like to talk about a good man, a good minister. Praise God. What does it take to be a good minister? Well, first, before you can be a good minister, you got to be a good man. Amen. And so the Bible says in Psalms 37 and 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Amen. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Well, how do we get our orders from the Lord? We get them right out of the book, first off. Amen. The Lord, he'll never tell us anything contrary to the Word of God. It's always, thus saith the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Well, the steps of a good man, first off, are ordered by the Lord. He hears the call of the Spirit and he gets saved. Then he gets in a good church, praise God, and in the fellowship of good men of God, and amen, he learns to obey those that have the rule over him. He obeys orders. The Bible said that they sent tidings of these things, came to the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Barnabas was obedient to the directive of the church. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls. Praise God. And so that's what we've got to do. We've got to obey those that have the rule over us. Got to learn to do that right early. Our spiritual growth stops when we become disobedient. Our spiritual growth stops when we become rebellious. Amen. I've seen people in Pentecostal churches that, I mean, they were belligerent about their rebellion. Amen. Dear sister wore her breeches all the way through the Holy Land out of a Pentecost church, not here, somewhere in the United States, though. Amen. And I was trying to sleep, and I had the seat back, and she happened to be right behind me, and she just didn't like, you know, folks, it's not holiness. They don't like holiness, folks. Amen. And so I was laying down the seat back, so that left a crack about this wide, you know, between the seat beside me, which was up, and mine, which was laying back, and she was shuffling around and doing something, and woke me up, and I was looking at her, and she was looking right at me, and she said, boo! I thought about hollering at my wife, Mommy, this old woman's trying to scare me. Amen. Hallelujah. But she was in rebellion. You could tell it by the look on her face. These folks that hang around the Pentecostal churches, they don't that hate holiness. I pastored in Kansas City, where there's 90, Assembly God churches, exceedingly big and exceedingly worldly. Kansas City, for the most part, the Pentecostal ranks of Kansas City, hates holiness with a passion. Amen. I mean, some folks that even go to holiness church hates holiness with a passion. And I won't tell you, they may look good and put on a pretty good show on TV. Amen. But in everyday life, and when it comes right down to where the rubber meets the road, brother, they hate holiness and holiness folks. Amen. Oh, they stayed around long enough to learn the works. They stayed around long enough to learn the ways of Pentecost. Some even got an experience. Amen. I followed a fellow in Middletown who was all messed up, split the church, and started church over across town. Very belligerent, very rebellious, and over the radio, continually sparring around about the things of God. And he just went from bad to worse. Amen. Rebellion is a terrible thing when it gets into the ministry. But very belligerent. Hey, the Bible said Barnabas was a good man. Amen. Well, you say, I know he does so-and-so, and I know he does thus and thus, but he's a good man.
Is he? If he don't obey the word of God?
If he don't obey the truth of God, praise God. Good men obey the word of God. They pattern their life after the word of God. They walk so in the steps of Jesus that when people walk in their steps, people will say, they've been with Jesus. They imitate Christ so perfectly that when others follow them and they imitate Christ, amen, they say, they're good people too. How many like to be a good man or woman? Amen. Yes. He recognized God's work. Praise God. There are some folks today that don't think God's doing anything if they're doing it. They sent Barnabas down there, amen, to see what was going on and to supervise and help if possible. Amen. They say when the Chinese borders opened up and they were able to go in and visit the Chinese Christians, amen, they sent some missionaries in. They had a little get-together and they wondered if they had wandered away from the cardinal truths of the Word of God. They wondered if they had wandered into error, being separated for so long from the brethren. Amen. And so as they got together and the missionary and they had the ambassadors that they sent with the Christians and heard their story, immediately the preachers they sent become the student and the suffering Chinese Christian become the teacher. Praise God. They told them of a continuous string of miracles. And that was the only way they survived, by a miracle of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, good men will recognize the hand of God and the work of God in the matter. And Barnabas, he goes down, he looks it over, and he saw, when he had seen the grace of God, he wasn't sad, he was glad. Did you know that if we're not careful, we'll fall into the error, even as holiness preachers, and even as holiness people, if you will. My, we fast, pray, and seek God, and we get a move of God, and sometimes when we hear of churches all across the country having the same move of God, we become envious because it is a weakness of the flesh to want to be exclusive, as Richard was talking about a while ago, and be a notch above the others and not be able to rejoice in what God's doing for somebody else. Come on. Amen. And folks, that is rampant up and down this Miami Valley in our holiness churches and among our people. Amen. And here's the characteristic that you'll see that characterizes these narrow Christians, narrow holiness folks. Amen. Here it is. They can't fellowship. Amen. No, because they can't see any farther than what God's doing for and with and by them inside their own four walls. They can't fellowship. Amen. And I tell you what, it even gets in preachers. Amen. I'll tell you why it's in the people. It got the preachers first. Amen. And it spreads to the people. It's an unholy contagion that spreads to the people. If the preacher can't fellowship, pretty soon his people can't fellowship either. Amen. Why can't the fellowship? They have fallen prey to that spirit that wants to be exclusive. That wants to be a notch above. Amen. That wants to stand alone. That wants to be number one, not number two or not 10 among 10, 1 among 10 or 1 among 20, but alone in its exclusiveness. Hey, we need to recognize the work of God. Oh, we need to be careful and be good fruit inspectors, because everything that crows is not a rooster. Amen. Everything squeals is not a pig. Wallace Timmons said some people's like grape nuts. They're not Christians are like grape nuts. They're not grapes or nuts either. Amen. And some preachers are like guinea pigs. They're not guineas nor pigs either. Amen. And so you got to be careful. Amen. And be fruit inspectors. Praise God. Hey, you can tell a Bible Christian when you see one. When that picture came out on the front page of the Sunday Journal or Sunday Journal a few weeks ago of those young folks and their work, and they wasn't a one of them had a dress on, and there wasn't a boy that had a pair of trousers on. They were all dressed in shorts, and pretty short shorts too. Amen. And they were saying on the front page of that newspaper, hey, come over and be with us. We're just like you. You'll feel at home with us. And they're making some more of the same kind. Amen. So you got to be fruit inspectors. Praise God. Oh, yes. I know we need a whole bunch of people in our church getting saved and coming on. Amen. Randy, he didn't get his hair cut as high as it is now. The first time it took him about two or three haircuts, you know, to get it up there the first time. But we encouraged Randy, praise God. And Randy, pretty soon, he got so holy and so good that some of the unholy folks in church started calling him Mr. Goodbar, because he was advancing too fast for them. Amen. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. And so we need some that's coming on. Hey, and you can see growth, can't you? You don't expect roasting ears the next day after you plant corn, do you? No, you plant corn and, amen, about 90 days later, depending on which kind it is, 60 to 90, about as short a growing season I know of is 60-day corn, and that's little old bitty stuff don't get very high in the ears, not very big. Early sun glow. Amen. 60-day corn. Amen. Well, even then, you don't get instant growth. Praise God. So you need some coming along, and you need a man of God that can recognize that. Hallelujah. And encourage it. And that's the kind of man Barnabas was. He was a good man. Daniel was such a good man that he made an impression upon Nebuchadnezzar and all Babylon. Praise God. Man, they put him over all the governors. He made him, man, I'm telling you, you talk about a high office, that Jewish slave got promoted because he was such a good man. Amen. Did you know the Bible says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him? Praise God. David Brainerd was a good man in the early United States, 1739. John Wesley was preaching across England and making inroads in the United States of America. Amen. Jonathan Edwards, he was the head of Princeton University, had already preached his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Amen. David Brainerd, in his early 20s, got saved and became the first missionary. I mean, nobody knew anything about anybody that was a missionary before that. It was after reading David Brainerd's memoirs, his journal, that William Carey became a missionary, and others followed in their wake. But David Brainerd was such a good man. He went among the Indians and preached the gospel to them. His heartthrob was the Indians. He told the New England Indians, the North American Indians, the gospel for the first time. Amen. And he repeatedly tells how that the Indians broke down and sobbed. They convulsed into tears as this holy man of God preached to them the efficacious death of Jesus Christ, that Jesus shed his blood for their sins. And he won many Indians of the more friendly tribes to the Lord. Well, there was a tribe they told him not to go to. Don't go to that tribe because they're very hostile. But right away, David Brainerd set out to go to that tribe and to preach the gospel to them. Praise God. Well, he traveled through the thick forest, amen, with some of the good Indians trailing behind him, trying to keep watch over him, amen, lest he commit suicide walking into the hands of those hostile Indians, amen. And when he got out nearly to the edge of the camp, he felt led of the Lord to pitch his tent. There he prayed, just like he always had, and sought God on his face for the Indians. Praise God. The next day, amen, he pulled up camp and headed into camp and found the whole tribe coming out to meet him and preached to them the gospel, and they got saved. Glory to God, and what a day that was. And they told the story how that they were watching this man through the brush as he pitched his tent. And as he got down on his face to pray, and they said a rattlesnake crawled right up to him, sticking out its tongue, curled up as if to strike. Amen. And the man of God kept praying. And the rattlesnake just got down and crawled off and left him alone. Amen. And the Indians saw the miracle and decided he was a prophet of the Great Spirit. And the whole camp came out to meet him. Praise God. He was not only led of the Lord, he was a good man. He was a man of prayer. Praise God. David Brainerd had made such inroads into the American Indians and knew, amen, as consumption clouded his lungs, and as he stained the snow with blood-red spittle from his consumptive lungs, praying for the American Indians. Somebody said as David Brainerd died, his fiancée, Jerusha Edwards, wept. And I think it wasn't too long till she followed him in death. They never married. They buried him at the age of 29, but he had made his impression for God. He had made his impression on missions because he was a good man, praise God. Oh, glory to God, and who knows what God will do with good men yet in our time. Amen. They say what the army needs is a few good men. Well, what God needs is a few good men. Praise God. Listen, he recognized God's work, and when he saw what these boys had done, preaching to these Grecians, amen, he was not envious of what they had done. But when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. You know what? This good man didn't tell them, now you got to sin a little every day and you're going to go to heaven anyway, don't worry about it. No. He said, with purpose of heart, cleave unto the Lord. He didn't tell them like the eternal security people tell you that you don't have to hold on to God. God holds on to you. One of our people was witnessing to one of those fellows, a truck driver, if I'm not mistaken. Amen. And he was exhorting him to hold on to God. And he said, oh, I don't have to hold on to God. He's holding on to me. Amen. Well, that's not what Barnabas said. He said that we ought to, with purpose of heart, cleave unto the Lord. In my opinion, the eternal security doctrine, that is once in grace, always grace, has done more damage and has produced more sinning Christians than Roman Catholicism. Amen. It has polluted the whole evangelical ranks. Amen. My God. God have mercy. It is so adverse to the spirit of the New Testament, to the tenor of the Word of God. Amen. It exhorts us to be overcomers, to fight the good fight of faith, to cleave unto the Lord, to go on with God. Amen. To seek the Lord. Ah, yes. Amen. And God don't waste breath. Praise God. Well, he was happy to see God blessing others. Amen. That's my ninth point in my message today, others. Good men are not all wrapped up in themselves. They're all wrapped up in others. Amen. A boy right here in church, a young preacher, sat at my table and told me he's going up to another church. And I said, don't go. He said, why? I said, you won't get to preach. He said, why won't I get to preach? I said, because they don't have a Father spirit. Amen. What is a Father spirit? It's one that's interested in others. That's interested in pushing others. In encouraging others. Amen. Now, the other spirit is one that's interested in blowing its own horn. It quotes that scripture, that chimney corner scripture, that he that tooteth not his own horn, the same shall not be tooted. Amen. I mean, these modern day good men, if you will, spirits, they're deformed from blowing their own horn and scratching their own back at the same time. Amen. Well, glory to God, Barnabas wasn't that kind of man. He was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith. Incidentally, amen, you didn't have to pet Barnabas to keep him in there for God. Amen. I mean, Barnabas, he was right up there alongside Matthias, and the lot fell on Matthias. But Barnabas didn't take his marbles and go home. Amen. He didn't get his feelings hurt. Like one man in this church years ago when they voted him down as trustee, he said, I can't believe that I've not got any more friends than that in this church. He took his marbles and went home. Amen. No, we just have elections out of convenience. That don't mean, amen, that the one that got elected is necessarily going to do more than the one that didn't. Praise God. Barnabas, you don't hear Matthias anymore, but you hear plenty about Barnabas. Amen. Not only did he stay in there, amen. Fourth chapter of Acts said that he had some land and sold it and brought the price thereof and laid it at the feet of the apostles. Praise God. Amen. This is my opinion. I think the camp meeting was kind of running kind of low. That's what they were having in Jerusalem. None of those folks lived in Jerusalem for the most part. Amen. They were from somewhere else. All the apostles, most of them, were from up in Galilee. Amen. They were out of pocket, you know. And some of them had lots there that they'd used to camp on when the feast day came. They'd come there and pitch their tent or make their shed and sleep and enjoy the feast and enjoy the blessings of God. And the second chapter of Acts said, them that had lots sold them and brought the price thereof and laid it at the feet of the apostles. Praise God. And the camp meeting went on. Well, amen. The service is kindly dropping down now, and the offerings are kind of run low. Amen. And here comes Barnabas. He's sold his land, and he's bringing the price, and he's laying it at the apostles' feet. Amen. And he's saying, I'd just like to do something for the camp meeting. Well, it wasn't his home neither. He's from Cyprus. Amen. Hallelujah. So he's a long way from home, and he needed a place to stay when he was in Jerusalem. Woo, but he sold out. Glory to God. And he brought the price thereof and laid it at the apostles' feet. And you know what they called him? They called him the son of consolation. Praise God. I mean, good men are generous men. Good men give. Good men give sacrificially even. Good men are not stingy. You can't be a good man and a tightwad at the same time. Amen. Oh, yes. Some folks may think you're good, but what it amounts to is you're good for nothing. We ought to be good for something when we're in this world. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. He exhorts people to cleave to God and not backslide. Amen. And he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. Full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, they didn't run him for deacon. He missed out on the election. Amen. He sells out and brings the price thereof and lays at the apostles' feet. Amen. And I think he was in on that refilling they got in the last part of Acts chapter 4, where the Holy Ghost came down and shook the place where they were sitting. Praise God. What a day that was when the Holy Ghost fell. Hallelujah. And they got a refilling. Amen. And then he departs to Tarsus for to seek Saul. There's that others again. You see, everybody in Jerusalem was afraid of Saul. I mean, Saul had been down to Arabia for 3 years, and he'd had conversation with Jesus, and he had revelations that would rock the religious world right straight from the mouth of Jesus. He said, I was born out of season. Amen. I'm an apostle out of season and the least of the apostles. Praise God. But he said, I saw Christ too. But they didn't accept him at Jerusalem. Well, every good man needs somebody to push him. Even Jesus needed a forerunner. It's in your Bible. I'll send my messenger before my face. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus. Somebody's got to recommend you. John had to recommend Jesus. You say, Jesus didn't need no recommendation. Nobody knew him. But John knew him. And John was anointed of God. Praise God. And God told him how he'd know him too. He'd see a dove descending on him. The Holy Ghost descending like a dove on him. Praise God. What a day that was. And John put Jesus in the hearts of his disciples and pushed Jesus. Now, if John had been like some modern televangelist, he would have pulled another rabbit out of the hat and say, look what I'm doing. And when they came to John and told him that Jesus baptized more disciples than John, amen, he'd have said, yeah, but look what I'm doing. This, that, and the other. And he'd have pulled another rabbit out of the hat. And, amen. Yeah, we're doing this, we're doing that, and we're doing something else. What did John say? He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Said, I told you that all along. Well, it was his followers that's putting the pressure on John. Amen. To sow the seeds of division and draw people away from Jesus Christ. And you know why some preachers fall into that error? They listen to the people. It's a weakness of the flesh to be carnal and divisive and sow the seeds of schism. Amen. In the church of the living God. Praise God. Well, they didn't want Paul at Jerusalem. Saul. They still call him Saul at that time. Amen. Nobody recognized the gift that Saul had, but Barnabas did. And Barnabas goes and gets Saul. I mean, he takes off across the country, pays his own way from down to Antioch, clear up to Tarsus. And Saul's been up there in Tarsus seeking God for 8 or 9 years. You haven't heard anything from Saul. Ain't nobody wanted to give him a revival. Nobody wanted to hear him preach. The disciples all suspected him. Amen. But this godly-hearted good man went up there, amen, and flushed him out of his nest and said, I need you, boy, down here at Antioch. And for a long time, it was Saul following along with Barnabas. And Barnabas was taking the lead. And pretty soon, Barnabas gave him a shove.